Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Love of Books podcast featuring India Small Press Authors with host author Emma Pulova. I would like to thank our major sponsor, Dakshavant. Today, I will be chatting with author Karen Beery, who will announce the details of her book giveaway of Finally Forever. At the end of the interview, Karen Beery is an author of hopeful fiction with a healthy dose of romance. She lives in northern Michigan with her husband and pets. They drink too much decaf, put up their Christmas tree the first weekend in November, and do their best to live every day for the Lord. Hello, Karen. How are you today?
I'm doing well, thanks. Thank you so much for having me.
Great. It's good to have you. All right. Give us a brief summary of Finally Forever.
Finally, Forever is the story of a ballroom dance champion who partners with a former football player to raise money for a special needs home during a dancing competition. And this competition could lead them both to their dream jobs, but at the expense of their hearts.
Uh-oh. Okay, what inspired you to write this? I assume it's a romance, right?
Yes, it is a contemporary romantic comedy.
Oh, it's
I
a
write.
romantic comedy. I love those.
Yes, and that wasn't intentional. I didn't set out to write romantic comedies. It's just the way that I view the world, and all my books end up being romantic comedies. So
Oh,
unintentional, but it's there.
okay.
And
All right. Yeah, go ahead.
I wrote this one. I had the idea when my aunt was living with me. She is mentally handicapped and had lived in a home for years, and then she moved in with me and lived with me for 3 years.
Okay.
I learned so much about my aunt and so much about how we tend to underestimate the special needs community.
Sure.
And I just adore her. She doesn't live with me anymore, but I talk to her on the phone almost every day. And when she lived with me, we watched Dancing with the Stars together. So it inspired that train of thought, but there was also a fundraiser in Traverse City that was based off of Dancing with the Stars. So I took the idea of that fundraiser and put it into my book.
Oh, very cool. Tell us about the main character, Caroline, right?
Yes, Caroline is the former competitive ballroom dancer who is 30 years old and she works at an insurance company. It's not what she wanted to do with her life, but it's kind of where she's working while she waits for the next step.
All right. How long did it take you to write this book? Your fifth book, correct?
My fifth book, yes. The actual rough draft only took maybe 3 months, but
Nice.
in the midst of it, there was a pandemic,
Oh,
and
gosh.
I'm a very extroverted person, so being isolated at home really sapped my energy, and I had a hard time revising the book and getting it out there. So the entire process actually took about a year, year and a half. Much longer than I would have liked. But it's done now, it's out there, and I'm excited to share the story with everyone.
Awesome. When did you publish it?
It just released, actually February 16th. So it's less than a month out in the world,
Oh,
and it's available right now on Amazon.
that is awesome. You got to be excited. Congratulations.
Thank you.
Now tell us about the process, and this is a hard one, from the initial idea to getting the book on the shelves of your local bookstore or on Amazon. What was this journey like? What would you compare it to? Was it like a roller coaster ride or?
I would compare it to climbing up a mountain while carrying a giant backpack full of stuff that you're not sure what to do with, but someone told you needed it, so you brought it
Okay.
with you.
I like that analogy.
Because there are so many different things that you need to think about while you're writing the book. You have to be thinking about when is it going to be done, because I'll probably need somebody to critique it or edit it for me.
Right.
So you have to think ahead of that. And then while it's off with your editor, you have to be thinking ahead of, okay, I'm going to need, if I find a publisher or if I self-publish, I need to start with the marketing. Because even though the book's not done yet, we need to start with, what are some cover ideas or cover design? And how am I going to market this? If I go traditional, am I going to hire someone to help me? Or am I going to need to hire someone to help me with the launch?
Right.
If you're doing it, on your own, then absolutely you need to start thinking about what's my deadline going to be. So, the writing is the first step, but you're always having to think one or two steps ahead. So wherever you are in the process, you really need to be thinking about what's next so that you can already hire somebody or already start, getting the graphics done, start, preparing your launch team, whatever it is. So yeah, there's a lot of prep work that you just kind of carry it with you until you're ready to use it.
I agree 100%. How do you find your beta readers? I get that question asked a lot. People want to know where and how to find beta readers. What should they be looking for?
I found mine through professional associations. So I'm a member of American Christian Fiction Writers and a member of the Christian Authors Network and Advanced Writers and Speakers Association. So within those groups, there are other authors that work in the same genres. And we're all, you because we're all writers, we're usually pretty good about find, it's usually pretty easy to find at least one or two people who will give you some feedback, and then you offer the same service for them when they need it. And because you're in this professional organization, especially the Christian Authors Network and the ASA, the Advanced Speakers and Writers Association, those are more marketing groups, and those are for authors that have two or more books already published. So they are authors who already are in the process of marketing. They've already been published, so they understand the value of having that beta reader, and they've been through the process. So by joining those groups, getting to know people, developing those friendships, I haven't had too much of a problem because I find people to swap manuscripts with.
So you would consider that the easier part in the whole process, finding the beta readers and getting the proper critique and input, how to maybe fix, revise.
For me, it has been, but also because my day job is as a book editor, that's what I do. So I also know several editors who write, and we do the same thing. We swap manuscripts because we're all writers, we're all editors. But it does take, some time and some investment to cultivate those relationships, because now I know people, and even though I haven't met many of them in real life, I consider them friends. But I started my writing journey in 2007. So it takes a while to learn how to write, to get involved, to create these relationships. If I was at the very beginning part of my journey, I think it would be a little more difficult. But my encouragement would still be join these groups of writers and start to develop those relationships, because those really are the people who are going to walk with you and help you and support you on your writing journey.
What was the biggest challenge in writing Finally Forever compared to your previous books, maybe?
By the time I wrote Finally Forever, I had learned a lot more because I wrote the first one in 2007. That book will not see the light of day. It's terrible. But you just kind of sit down and write. So by the time I sat down to write Finally Forever, I knew stuff. Like, I knew what a three-act structure was. I knew what character arcs were. I understood goals, motivations, and conflicts. So I sat down and I just wrote. And then when I started editing, I had to apply those that information. And so then I was looking for, oh, wait a minute. I don't, my goals aren't clear here, and I don't actually have an inciting incident yet. So for me, the challenge was just taking the theories that I understood about writing and actually applying them
Applying
to the
them.
manuscript.
Well, I find that very difficult myself.
And it's usually easier to spot those things in other people's manuscripts than it is to
Right.
find them in your own.
In your own. Which elements from your previous books appear in this one? Do you have like repeating certain elements?
The only, I would say, repeating elements, my kind of tagline is hopeful fiction with a healthy dose of romance. So there's always going to be a hope line and some kissing scenes. Other than that, all of my books, I just can't get away from it. All of my characters are sports fans. I love sports, so
Okay.
you're always going to see my characters probably watching, Detroit Tigers or some University of Michigan football because that's what I like to do.
So you must love the unraveling romance that we have all been watching, right? Between the two stars.
Oh yes,
Isn't
it's fascinating. You know,
it fascinating and
you like to
inspiring?
speculate. Yes.
Yeah, me too. I'm just still all wild about it. All right. What was the most gratifying part in writing Finally Forever?
Easily looking at the manuscript and seeing how much better it was than my earlier manuscripts. As I was going through that editing process, realizing that I didn't have to edit it as much
Okay.
because I had learned so much. And there were still
Okay.
places that needed work. And I still got a lot of great feedback from people that helped make the story even stronger. But it was just that sitting down and being able to see that the first manuscript that I wrote in 2007, how bad that was, to when I sat down and wrote this one. I think it was maybe 2019 or 2020. I think it was 2019, just to see how much growth I had had. So that's not anything I think authors or the readers will see, because by the time my books are published, they've all been heavily edited. But for me personally, to see in those early stages how much I had grown, that was really satisfying.
So, have you published your first book, or are you considering publishing it, or reworking it, or revising it?
Someday I would love to go
Okay.
back to that one because, it was my first one and I still kind of like the characters, but it's just really bad. So I'm okay leaving it on the computer for right now.
Of course, right now, right? You have time.
Yeah.
Okay. Any surprises, discoveries, or epiphanies while writing Finally Forever? Well, one of the major ones was that you recognize your own growth, right? Anything
Yes.
else outstanding?
The one thing that continues to surprise me in writing is how much research, even when you're writing a contemporary story, how much research you still have to do.
Right.
I like to read historicals, but I refuse to write them because I don't want to do the research
The
necessary to
research.
make them accurate. But even in this, I understood the fundraiser because I used to write about it for the local newspapers. So I understood how that worked. But I still called a friend who's a ballroom dancer because I needed to ask him some questions about dancing to include in there. I had to do a lot of research on football because I had to figure out, I mean, I watch a lot of it, but what position did I want Ben
Right.
to have played? How would this home, it's a fictionalized care home for women, but it's based on a real home in Traverse City. So I had to research that. What are their requirements? How do they describe themselves? So it's always fascinating to me how much legwork you really have to do before you write the book, because I want it to be authentic and I want it to reflect, real people's lives and real experiences. So I always end up with several pages worth of research just to make sure that it's believable. I mean, you always have to be willing to exaggerate things a little bit, but it's re believable and it's something that people can say, "Oh yeah, I can see that happening."
What do you feel you did right? No one else could have done it like you.
I think because I grew up with a special needs aunt and I visited her in the home where she used to live. And some of the ladies that you'll read about in this book, they're inspired by the ladies that she used to live with.
Okay.
So their little quirks that they have are quirks that some special needs women have, but also understanding, how capable they can be. And just really having, I have such a heart now to help them. My aunt, it was so much fun when she lived with me because she went from living in a home with many other women to being one of three people in our house. And she had so many more opportunities here. And she did things that I didn't even know she was capable of. And I was related to her. So seeing how much she could do, I don't know that if that someone without that experience would be able to write that into their story the same way that I did, because it's important to me and it's something that I've lived through.
Sure. What would you have done differently?
I would have spent a little more time planning before I write. I'm not a plotter. I don't like to think about plot, but I start with my characters and I create my characters and then kind of figure out what I want to do with them. I would have spent a little more time with that. I didn't, so I had to do a little bit more editing in the process. Are you familiar with the term the cinnamon roll hero?
No, I have not heard that. Oh,
So
no, what is it? Who is
The cinnamon roll hero is like that ooey gooey, super sweet guy who's almost too good pe to be true. But when I originally wrote Ben, he was like the cinnamon roll hero, dunked in frosting, rolled in sugar with sprinkles on top. Like he was just way too sweet and way too perfect, and he didn't have any faults. But I had a great critiquer who looked through that, and she's like, "Does this guy have any flaws?" So that was super helpful. But yes, I would so I would plan I would do some more character development so that I didn't wouldn't have to go make s quite so many adjustments in the future.
Okay, how about what have you learned about yourself from writing this book?
Oh man. Every time I write a book, I realize that I can be more patient than I ever thought I could be. And also, I learn with every novel which comments to take personally and which ones not to take personally. Because so much of publishing is rejection and correction. I work as an editor, and I like to tell people I get hired to tell authors everything they're doing wrong. But you have to do it in a way that is encouraging and uplifting, so they keep working. But that's, I mean, so much of publishing is finding out what you did wrong. And so with every book, I learn how to separate my bad writing from me as a person. So if someone's commenting on, "This isn't working in your story, you're doing this incorrectly," or "This is weak," that's a reflection of my writing. That is not a reflection of me as a person. And with the first few manuscripts, I took it so personally. There was a lot more crying with the first two manuscripts than there was with this one.
But that's a great observation to learn, how to separate that it's about our writing, not about us.
Yes.
That's very important. I'm grateful for that comment. Okay, what are some of the takeaways from your newest book, Finally Forever?
Well, I do hope that as people read this, that they will see the special needs community a little differently. But my overall goal with my books really is just to entertain. I am an escapist. So for me, fiction is where I go when I'm overworked and I'm busy and I just need a break and I can't afford to go to the Caribbean. So, you pick up a book and read. And that's why I'm okay. I tell people I write rom-coms, I write fluff, and I'm okay with it because sometimes you need that little break from reality. And that's what I hope my books can be, that an overworked, exhausted woman can sit down after work for an hour, read a few chapters, and relax.
Relax. Who do you edit for?
I'm a freelance editor, so I have clients that come to me through my website. I have some publishers that have sent referrals my way, but now just usually word of mouth and through my website.
Oh, excellent. Would you do it all over again, your editing career and mainly your writing career?
Absolutely. I have learned more about myself and God through this writing journey than through any other experience in my life. And it has definitely not always been easy. But I completely would not be the person I am today if I had done anything else.
And do you consider yourself a Christian author of Christian romances or not necessarily?
I am a Christian author. I write sweet romances. So, not because of my faith, none of my stories are going to involve anything that breaks biblical principle. Now, I may have some characters who make bad choices and they may do things that have bad consequences, but you will see that they are going to end up repenting, if it not necessarily saying that, but you will see that they recognize their mistakes and decide to make changes. But I don't include any overtly Christian content. It's just kind of the way that my characters live their lives.
How about the most interesting or bizarre thing that has ever happened to you during an in-person author's event or virtual? Because stuff happens on both in person and on the screen.
My favorite, it wasn't actually an author event. It was a networking event. And there was, it's a man that I know, and I've known him for several years. I did not know that he reads romance novels. I would, he is not the type of person I would have expected to. He's not a Christian, but he's a really nice guy. And he came up to me and he picked up my first novel. And he's like, Karen, I gotta tell you. Your book, like I could picture it. I saw the places in Traverse City that you were describing, and I just felt like I was there. Now, I usually read books with more sex in them, but I didn't even mind that you didn't have it in yours. And that was just that. But
Beautiful.
I loved it. I'm like, if there's a man who usually reads romance novels with sex, and he still really likes my book that doesn't have it in there, then I must have done something right.
Oh, that's huge. That's
Yes.
huge. Coming from a man, that's huge.
Yes.
Okay, so what's next for you on your writing journey?
I am working on actually a sequel. This is the first time I've written a series. And in Finally Forever, you meet one of Caroline's sisters. And I am working on her story right now.
Do you already have a draft title, or you don't want to reveal any of that, or?
I am terrible with titles, and I actually don't give my books titles Usually until about 5 minutes before I email my manuscript out to someone. So I won't have that title for a long time.
All righty. All right. Would you like to read to us, Karen?
I would. I apologize. I've set my book over there and forgot
No,
to
that's fine.
pick it up.
We're doing good on time.
Good. Where did it go?
You're very efficient in delivering your answers and right on the spot. I mean, I probably would be able to tell that you're an editor, even if you didn't reveal that
Well, part of it too is I've been doing a few interviews
yourself.
recently. So I hear some of the same questions and I've kind of dialed in some of the answers. Where did this one go? The part I really enjoyed. I am so sorry. I
Is
completely
it
forgot
about
about
the
this part.
guy or about the dancer? To
Well,
help you out.
I was looking for when Caroline goes into the house with the, oh, here we go.
All right. You got it.
So this is when Caroline shows up. There, Caroline and Ben are just getting started with the dance competition, and she shows up at his house one morning to pick out costumes because it's a fundraiser, so they don't really have a costumer or a budget or anything. But Caroline doesn't know that Ben has a, well, she knows he has a sister. He just, she hasn't met her yet. So, is she here? Is she here? Footsteps thumped down the stairs moments before a blur of purple and turquoise streaked through the living room, stopping in front of Caroline. Are you going to teach my brother to dance? Can you teach me? I've been taking ballet and tap, but I've never danced with a boy before. Caroline looked into wide blue eyes framed by fountains of blonde hair, a slender nose like her mother, high cheekbones like her father, a bright smile like Ben. You must be Annabelle. The young girl grabbed Caroline's hand and pumped it excitedly. I'm 12. I know I'm a lot younger than my brother. He said you were going to teach him to dance. Can I watch? Ben wrapped an arm around Annabelle's neck and pulled her gently against him. This is my little sister. Please forgive her. She's the performer in the family, and she got it into her head that you might adopt her. Annie, what did we talk about? Her dad said. Annie sighed. Not to be rude and to wait for an invitation. Caroline smiled. She had fond-ish memories of her sisters at Annabelle's age. Actually, you may be able to help me. I need to find clothes in your brother's closet that will match my dance costumes. You know what he owns. You can help me find shirts that will work. The young girl's eyes somehow widened even more, and she faced her parents. Can I help, please? I promise I won't be rude, and I won't hardly even bother them. Her mom stacked empty plates. If it's okay with Caroline and Ben, it's fine with me, but you have to leave as soon as they ask you to. Yes! Annabelle punched the air. Let's go.
Thank
I'm not sure
you.
how much Annabelle is one of those characters I put in there, who's kind of seems to steal the show. I have a lot of people who comment that she was one of their favorites. So
Oh, sounds like it, right? So you're gonna fly
she.
with her in the sequel?
She will definitely appear because I like bringing the characters in. So Ben and Caroline will appear a few times. But Annabelle's another one. She was easy to write because I based her on the 12-year-old version of my niece, who was really into dancing in The Little Mermaid at that time.
Nice. Sounds easy, right? All
Yes.
right. Can you give us the details of your book giveaway of Finally Forever?
Absolutely. I'm not sure how you're running it on your side, but I am happy to send a signed copy to anyone, in the United States. If it's, I'm not sure where your podcast reaches. If it's outside of the United States, I'm very happy to send an ebook. It works for Kindle. I can't wait to send it to them.
All right, can you give us your email address? The first listener who emails you will get a
Yes.
signed copy either of your paperback or ebook.
It is Karen, Karin, at KarenBeery.com. And that is KarinB2E1RYS or Y.com. I always thought it would be easier to use my name as my until I realized that my name is spelled funny and nobody can spell it right.
Right. Well, you never know,
Yeah.
right? Okay, parting shots from each one of us. You first, Karen, you're my guest. What would you like to leave our listeners with?
I hope that they can carve out a few hours every week just to sit down with something lighthearted, like Finally Forever, and take their minds off of their troubles for a bit.
Yeah. Feels like we all need it.
Yeah.
Yeah. And my parting shots are write indie, buy indie, and read indie. Read your local newspapers for inspiration. Keep your fingers on the keyboard and your butt in the chair. Thank you for listening. Goodbye.